In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we have celebration of the Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas, as soon as he was born, he showed special attributes. He's become, first of all, at the baptism, he was standing in the baptism of font for 3 hours, standing on his little legs as a little baby. And then when it's time for feeding, he would not take milk from the left breast of the mother, but only from the right side. And he also, during the time of the Lent on Wednesdays and Fridays, he would not take the milk until after the evening is over, and after the parents said their prayers, then he would take a little bit. And then, of course, as he was growing up, he wasn't interested in the things that usually children are interested, and he was a faster, right from being a little child. And he went and become eventually wanted to go to a monastery, and went to a monastery and got permission to go to the Holy Land. And in the Holy Land, when he went to different places, and when he came up to a locked church, which could be in the night, as he would went all over the Palestine, all over the places where the Lord had walked and been, and the doors would open automatically to him, and miraculously. And finally, he has been an ascetic of such a degree. He was keeping it a secret. Nobody knew much about it. And then finally, he's become a monk, a deacon, and then a priest. And when he would become a priest, he had was doing all kinds of good deeds to everybody. He had so much love for everybody. He couldn't understand people being in trouble. And there was a situation where there was a father that has 3 daughters, and he used to be rich, and then something happened and he lost all his riches, and he had to still support the family and the 3 daughters, and they were grown up already, and there was no way that he could support them. And then finally he had a terrible thought that he would make a place of prostitutes out of his house, and have the daughters to sell themselves so that they can provide for the family. And of course, Saint Nicholas had found out about it through the Holy Spirit. He found out that this is what he was contemplating to do. So what he had done, he didn't come and bawl them out and give them all kinds of hard time and threaten him and so on. But what he did, he had gathered as much gold as he could, put it in the bag, and at night time he threw it right into his window. Inside of the window, it was summertime, and the window was open. And in the morning, the father wakes up and he sees that bag of gold in there, and he was so surprised and shocked, and he didn't know where it came from. And he was so happy because he had used that gold then to give the oldest daughter to be married, because at that time you had to give a dowry to marry off your girls. And my beloved, the same thing happened a little while after, when things were having bad again, and Saint Nicholas knew about it, and he did again the same thing. He filled the bag with gold and threw it in the window, and the father had said, "Well, I'm going to catch him the next time for sure." And of course he gave away his second daughter to marriage with the dowry of the gold, and sure enough, he was then keeping vigil. He wouldn't go to sleep until that whoever would be would come to throw him the money. And sure enough, St. Nicholas did it again. St. Nicholas had came in and threw the bag of the gold and then started to run away. And the fathers ran after him and he caught him. He caught him, went on his knees before him and thanked him and said that he was so grateful and so on. But St. Nicholas ordered him not to say anything about it as long as he is alive. And my beloved, this is what the St. Nicholas spirit was. He didn't come and threaten and bow out and so on, but look what he did. He helped him to get out of that rut so that he will not be doing the terrible sin. And of course, then came the time when the Lord decided that he is going to make him a bishop. And one of the bishops had died, and they were looking for another candidate to be a bishop. And the patriarch had gotten a vision at night that he used to go to the cathedral and stand by the door, and the first man that's going to come in, and his name would be Nicholas, and he is to take him and make him a bishop. And sure enough, and St. Nicholas had also a vision that he used to go to church, and he saw that the Mother of God giving him the Amphorian, and the Lord giving him the gospel, and these are the attributes of the bishop. And he went as usual to church. He always would come early before anybody else. And as he went through the door of the church, the patriarch stopped him and said, "What is your name?" And he didn't answer right away. Then he asked him again, and he said, "Well, I am a sinful man. My name is Nicholas, and the bishop took him, and he had the whole sabor waiting for him in the church, and he revealed to the sabor and said, "Here's the man that the Lord revealed for us to make the bishop," and he's become a bishop. Then, of course, his life has changed. He's become a bishop, and this time he couldn't cover up any good deeds because he was put on the stand of a bishop where everybody sees what the bishops are doing. And he had shown so much mercy and so much zeal that where he's become a bishop, first of all, he destroyed the temples, the pagan temples, all the way down to the ground to kick out the evil spirits that were still torturing many people or had them engulfed in their pagantry. And worshiping of themselves and of the creation instead of the Creator. And then one time he heard that there was three men that are going to be executed, and but they were innocent, that somebody had set them up in such a way, and they were innocent, they were going to be executed. And he went to the place of execution, and as he approaches a big crowd, he goes through the crowd and runs over to the place of the execution, and there's the executor already raised his axe or whatever they use for the cutting off the head, and the men were tied up and their heads were already laying with the neck exposed to be cut off. And St. Nicholas runs over to him and grabs him as he raises the axe to cut off the special axe to cut off the head, and grabs it away from him, pulls it out and throws it on the floor and tramples it down and saves those people. And of course the executor was a big heavy man and very strong, and the bishop had told him off that these people were innocent and they'll let him go and so on. He saved him. The situation was another also where great warriors and the leaders of the army went to and the request of the emperor to calm down some people with revolution, a revolt was happening, and when they did the job good and they came back, and somebody was jealous because they got an honors for that, and so they have told the emperor that they have plotted against the emperor, and that if he doesn't execute them very soon, then they'll do their dirty work. And he believed those who were saying bad things against his rulers because of their jealousy. And so what he did is he ordered them to be put in jail and then to be executed. Well, St. Nicholas found out about it, and he had appeared to the emperor, to appear to him in the bedroom, and told him that if you have gotten people there in jail that are innocent, they have not done anything against you, didn't plan any revolution against you, and so on. But if you will execute them, I will then have the people to rise up against you and have you deposed. And he threatened the emperor like that. He was quite surprised. Of course, he couldn't understand how somebody would have so much guts to do it and so on. But he had listened to St. Nicholas. And when they would, then when the trial came and the emperor looked at the people, the warriors, and asked them, and they were afraid on the one hand. And the reason that St. Nicholas got involved, because when they were sitting in the jail, they were actually praying to the Lord to send St. Nicholas to help them, because they heard of the story how he saved the three people that were about to have their heads chopped off. And so, and my beloved, and here they're talking, the emperor is talking to them, and they're telling that they're faithful to him, they never planned anything against him, and so on. And they're looking, and they see next to the emperor, St. Nicholas is standing or sitting right next to him and showing that everything will be okay. Of course, the emperor didn't see him, but the emperor, though, said to them, I believe you, and I'm sorry that what I have done, I've listened to somebody, and he got those who were telling against these people, he put them in jail for the terrible thing they've done and punished them. And he told the warriors that you go thank the bishop Nicholas, Archbishop Nicholas, and bring him a gift of golden gospel with a gold thing and a censer with the jewels on it and so on as a present from the emperor. And my beloved, well, there's another situation where St. Nicholas showed his zeal, as he had. He was called for the council, the First Ecumenical Council, and there was the Arius that had denied Christ being God. He was saying that he was created by God, that he is not God the Creator, and so on. And so and he's saying all kinds of blasphemies, and St. Nicholas came after telling him all things. He came up and actually slapped him right in the face. And after he slapped him in the face, the council got very upset with that, and they decided they're going to disbar the bishop because he had done such an unethical thing that we don't do things like that. But then the next morning, or during the night, the patriarch who was involved there and some of the bishops, they saw that the Lord is giving the St. Nicholas the gospel, and the Mother of God is giving the Amphorian, the one that is signed by the bishop's see. And they recognized that the Lord and the Mother of God approved what he had done, and he was left. He was doing all kinds of miracles, helping all kinds of people, and especially, and there was stories in how he helped in the sea, how things were. One day, there was a group of people, I think the pilgrimages, they were going to go to some holy place, and the demons decided to destroy that ship on the waters, and the demon had taken the form of a woman, and she was carrying a vase with something, and she came up to the people on the boat and said, I have stomach troubles, I'm afraid of the sea shaking and so, but could you do me a big favor and take this vessel and pour this on the grave of Saint Nicholas, or at the tomb of the Saint Nicholas, as if it's some precious ointments or something. And they took it, and as they went, after a while, all of a sudden a terrible storm came up on them, and there they see Saint Nicholas in a little boat next to them, and Saint Nicholas says to them, he appears to them and says to them, take that vessel that you have with something and throw it out in the water, and everything will calm down. And that's what they did, because he knew there was the devil was, and they had some kind of potion that he made to destroy the ship, and they threw it overboard, and there's all kinds of effects happened to it, and the sparks and all kinds of terrible things happened, and then after a few seconds it all vanished and it became a total calm, and they were able to get to the place of the holy place where St. Nicholas was, my beloved, and they have told that. But it's only some of the stories. There's so many stories that I can go on, but it's better for you just to read it in the lives of the saints. All we want to know is to know that Saint Nicholas is an example of a true pastor, and that a true pastor that has a zeal for the truth, and that he was willing to fight for the innocent ones, and to help everybody that's in trouble. He always helps everybody that's in trouble. All we have to do is cry out to him. Every country, by the way, thinks that he belongs to them. Russia thinks he is a Russian saint. The Greeks, they think he's a Greek, and so on. And every place you go, even the pagans, the Japanese, some of them thought he was a great saint, even though they were not Orthodox. There were stories about that. My beloved, one thing we have to know, that Saint Nicholas wants us to be closer to the Lord. Saint Nicholas wants us to pick up the gospel and study it and try to live according to gospel, not according to the way of this world, but to look at things through the eyes of eternal life, how it would affect our eternal life, and if something that we're about to do or get involved in something that will have nothing to do with helping us to make it to heaven, and the country might even hinder us, then we should absolutely not do it. And my beloved, we have to remember that all the saints, they followed according to the gospel. They lived according to the gospel. They lived the Beatitudes. They were all meek and humble. Even though, as you can see in the life of St. Nicholas, he showed it a couple of times, a wrath, a righteous wrath, which is totally different from the kind of wrath that we get into when we get offended and so on. He didn't get offended. He was hurt, and he was defending people, and he was hurt for the Lord, and he showed the wrath and that. My beloved, we have to learn to live according to the gospel and not to depend on our brain and the brain of the world, but on the brain of the Lord and the Almighty. We have to accept his teachings and know that we are to love one another. The first gospel, the first main law that he gave us is to love God with all your heart and mind and might and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as thyself. But we have to love ourselves first, to love the neighbor properly. If we don't love our eternal soul, and if we just love our body, then that love is nothing. That love is not going to help our neighbors. And if we love them the same way as we love our body, it's not going to be benefit. It may not benefit them at all, but may even hurt them. So we have to, first of all and above all, to love their soul and to keep them from sinning. We have to do everything that St. Nicholas did at that time, to help the father not to commit a great sin and force his children to commit the sins. And he had helped him to stay away from that sin. And that's what we have to do. We have to try to help people to stay away from sin and not to allow them to get into the sin, if we can help it. We most of all have to pray for each other. Most of all, we have to pray for our soul, we start off, and then if we learn to love our soul, then we know that there is no way we cannot love our Lord and not love our neighbors. We absolutely must love our neighbors as a proof that we love our Lord, because we know the Lord loves all of us. He is merciful, and he wants us to be merciful, and he is kind, and he is love, and he wants us to have that heart that will be able to love and truly to be able to be rejoicing with those who are rejoicing, and be and sorry when we see somebody in a sorrow, then that we will be feeling the same thing that they feel, and always pray that the Lord will help them to be able to carry whatever burdens and crosses they may have, so that they will not fall into great depressions and become victims of the enemy. Let's all pray harder to St. Nicholas and know that he is always willing to come to us. Every time that we're in trouble, he's willing to come to help us. And he, as he did it so many times, there is so many countless of miracles that the Lord had done through him because of his faith and because of his childlike open heart that he had for everybody. Let's work on that so that we'll have a little bit of a glimpse of the true life of Orthodox Christians, that we will have the love in our heart for our Lord and for our brethren. Amen.